All right, that looks like that's working.
Today is May 3rd, 2017. This is a Grand Canyon Historical Society oral interview. The interview is conducted at the home of Tom Martin and Hazel Clark. My name is Tom Martin, and with us today are Joe and Carolyn Braun. Joe, standard J-O-E, Carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, last name spelled B-R-A-U-N. And Joe and Carolyn have a very interesting connection to Grand Canyon, including an early river trip with Larry Stevens and others. Let's start this interview. Joe and Carolyn, how did you two meet?
Well, it's very interesting. Carolyn will maybe fill in some of the blanks, but we were living in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was playing volleyball for an athletic club in San Francisco called the Olympic Club, and Carolyn was teaching school at Contra Costa College over in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay. And she had two students in one of her biology classes. And they were sort of out there. And they kept inviting her to do kind of unusual things, which she declined, and they kept asking her this or that. So they asked her if she would like to go to a nudist camp, and that seemed like the most innocuous thing that they've asked her to do. So she said sure. So at the same time, I had a guy on my volleyball team who asked me, how would you like to go play volleyball this weekend at a nudist camp? They're having their spring festival, and there will be nudist camps from all over the Bay Area coming to this one place to play volleyball. And I said, I'm there. And so, as a consequence, she and I came together at the same place, and I can recall thinking that she was very attractive, very interesting person, just because listening to her talk, and she was talking to an older man, talking about food, and that you should come. And I'll cook you a dinner. And I said to myself, well, if she'll cook for this old man, maybe she'll cook for me too. So I got her phone number and called her. And our first...
What year was this?
This was 1970.
Berkeley.
Close.
1970.
Close.
Yeah. And how was it, Joe, how was it that you were in the Bay Area at the time?
My family moved from Texas. My dad was moved in on his job in 1951 from Texas to, and we lived in San Mateo, which is down the peninsula of from San Francisco.
In 1951.
51 is when we came.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1937.
And Carolyn, how did you end up in the Bay Area that summer of 70?
I was teaching. I was off. I lived in the Monterey Bay Area, and I was offered a teaching job at Contra Costa College.
Did you grow up in the Monterey Bay Area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sunset Beach, outside of Watsonville.
And then, so clearly, you had him over for dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually,
she didn't come over for dinner yet.
Initially.
Our first time that we went out officially was we went to a restaurant in Sausalito called Ondine's. I don't know if you know of it, but it's right on the waterfront. It was owned by the manager of the Lamplighters, the music group called the Lamplighters, with I'm trying to think of the lead singer's name. I think his first name was Glenn. But anyway, so we...
Glenn Yarbrough.
Glenn, yeah, that's it. And
how do you spell Yarbrough? Is
that... Y-A-R-B-O-R-O-U-G-H.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I was working at the time for Merrill Lynch in San Francisco, and Carolyn was teaching, and so we agreed to meet there. And she was dressed in the manner that most teachers were in the early 70s and late 60s, and I was dressed in the manner of a Wall Street stockbroker. And when I came early, and so she finally came and said that she was meeting somebody there, and he's tall, and she said, well, is he really straight?
I said,
yes.
Probably.
Yeah, because I had wingtip shoes and a coat and tie. And so,
Brooks Brothers suit.
Yeah, so anyway. So that's when, then we got to talking. And so our really first date was a backpacking trip to Tuolumne Meadows. And we drove to Tuolumne Meadows on a Friday evening. And it was a beautiful full moon. Just as we were driving on the road to Tioga Pass, the full moon came right up over the road. And anyway, we spent the weekend in camping along the Tuolumne Meadows up in Tuolumne Meadows on the Tuolumne River.
1970 then?
That was 1970, yeah.
And how did you get into river running then?
Well, I have a real good friend, Vladimir Kovalev, that I had met in Monterey. He worked for SRI, Stanford Research Institute, at the time. And I met him mostly at parties, and we just got to be real good friends. And he was married at the time to Neda Kovalik. And they were just starting, or not even then, they hadn't started yet, the river company. But they started Wilderness World some years later. And we just remained friends for a long time. And he invited us as a wedding present on a river trip with him on the Stanislaus River.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. Can you tell me your earliest recollections of Vladimir, and then what year did you guys get married before you took that trip on the Stanislaus?
1971 is when we went on the Stanislaus.
Vladimir's a wild man.
Yeah.
I don't know that I should expand on that.
Well,
he was one of the Hungarian
freedom fighters that escaped from Hungary when the communists took over.
Or was he Czech? I thought he was Czech.
Well,
anyway,
Budapest.
He was in a prison camp, and that's actually how he met Neda. Or a refugee camp, maybe that was a better term for it. He was in a refugee camp, but he was one of the freedom fighters trying to change how things were done.
And he escaped. He escaped the camp, and he said, "There isn't a prison in the United States that could keep me after getting out of that prison camp." And he was just a free spirit, and we can remember the first night we were camped on the Stanislaus River. he wasn't with us at the time, but about dusk, just as we were finishing dinner, we hear these kind of yodeling and hollering and stuff like that coming down the river. And around the corner comes Vladimir with three of the prettiest girls that you could imagine seeing, all four of them with no clothes on, and just, you know, having a ball. And so river guides trying to keep things together, and here comes the owner of the company up to the shore with nothing on. And from then on, it was, you know, the Stanislaus is only a 2-day trip, but anyhow, but he was instrumental in us getting involved in river rafting, because we, from that point on, went and bought the same kind of rafts that he was having made by a company in Italy, they were.
Do you remember the name of the company?
If I think about it for a little while, I don't. The river company was Wilderness World, but the company that made the rafts, I'd have to think. They were 16 feet long and very
real high quality
real high quality rafts and stuff like that.
And this was 1971.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 72 is probably 72. when we ended up buying. I think it was the spring of 72, and my middle son and I took the initial ride down the Middle Fork of the American River in Sacramento. And so that was the first time we really went rafting, and we had no clue what we were doing, how to...
There was a real good rafting club in Sacramento. And what was it called?
River City Rafting Club.
And we joined them, and that was a group that we rafted all over with for a long, many years.
And that's where my memory was wrong when we first talked, because members of that group did their own do-it-yourself rafting trip down the Colorado. And
do you remember who was instrumental?
Well, the three that I remembered the most were a fellow by the name of Stu Patrignani, and that's spelled Patrignani.
And Paula.
Well, not Paula. She wasn't on that trip, but Craig.
And Ronnie Reeser.
And Ronnie, and it's R-O-N-I, Reeser, R-E-I-S-E-R, who have unusual capabilities as well.
And then,
she was a very, very slight, small girl, plays the violin very well, but she can handle one of those big rafts all by herself, no problem whatsoever. And those rafts were all just one person oaring. There wasn't any paddle assist or anything like there is now.
And then there was another couple that it was the second marriage for her. She had a daughter and a son from a previous marriage anyway that
can't recall who that would be, but
I'll think of it.
Yeah,
later.
Those were the three that I remember doing this, and I did a lot of logistic stuff, you know, getting the food, and because we had to bring our own food for one of those things, you know, we contracted with a company. I can't recall the name of them, but they had the boats and the whole deal, but we brought our own food, and they gave us packing lists of. And I helped them do that. So that's why I kind of felt like I had done it, but I didn't, as it turns out. I just had done a commercial trip with Wilderness World. Carolyn did a trip, and do you remember the name of the company you worked with? She worked as a cook for...
I think it was Oars.
Yeah.
And what years was this?
Well, let's see. The 78 was when we did our trip with Wilderness World. 1978.
I think it was.
And you probably did it two or three years later.
It was 79 when I did it. with the
with Orr
as an employee.
And she did. She cooked on the trip.
Okay. And your trip was with, and so both of you went with Wilderness World in 78.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when we met Larry Stevens.
And that's when you met Larry. Yeah.
And his sister and was also on that trip with her husband. His sister's name was Meriden, and her husband was Donnie.
M-E-R-I-D-A-N. And it was, I think it was D-O-N-N-Y, but I'm not.
So between buying a raft in 72 and going through Grand Canyon in 78, what rivers did you boat?
Well, we did the American River, the Stanislaus River.
The Kings.
The Kings.
The Rogue.
The Rogue. The Kern. The Owyhee. Do you know that river in eastern Oregon?
And it's supposed to be very gorgeous.
It is.
The Owyhee.
It is. It's just like here.
Hmm.
It's a small version of the Grand Canyon.
Hmm.
There's another one that goes out of Carson City on my mind, Markleyville, whatever that river is that flows through.
Truckee?
No, it's north of the Truckee. Or south of the Truckee. Anyway, it starts, you know, in the Sierras and goes through Markleyville, and it's not a very long river, but mm-hmm. it's a real nice river, and it's only raftable certain times of the
spring.
Year. Same as the Owyhee. This is the same. It's not really raftable. You're really raftable. Let's see.
Did you get up to the Middle Fork and the Main, that far north of further? You know, up a little north of the Rogue, and then of course a little further west of
the
Owyhee.
Salmon.
Yeah.
No, we never did get there.
All right.
We wanted to, but we never did.
And had you done any of the dry western rivers, Yampa, Lador, Labyrinth, Stillwater, San Juan,
no.
Cataract?
No.
Okay. Desolation Gray.
No.
Okay.
Everything was north of here.
Clearwater, Big Trees.
No, none
okay.
of those.
Well, no, I mean, your experience, your boating experience on these rivers that you've talked about are basically heavily forested, big trees down to the water's edge, clear water mostly.
I see, yeah.
Really different from the southwestern dry desert.
That's right.
Dry desert
yeah,
rivers.
Yeah, that's right.
What else can you tell me about the River City rafters?
Well, it was it would be similar to, I think, a bicycle club.
Maybe there were 20 members,
and everybody just had an interest in being out in nature and rafting.
But there were several single women too who belonged to that club.
Yeah, so it was just more of an affinity group where we would like to just, you know, we also did some backpacking together.
It was pretty much our whole social group. Was that group.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of things with them, other than rafting, too. Like Joe said, a lot of backpacking in the Sierras.
And we would have dinners at each other's houses and things like that. So, you know, it wasn't anything earth-shattering, but and we certainly didn't go on all the trips that the rafting club did, because we had to work too, you know, so it wasn't like we could just take off all the time, but there were
several of those people were teachers, and
yeah.
So they had the summer off, and so they had a lot more free time. Neither one of us had jobs at the time where we got big blocks of time off like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you guys were still then in the 70s living and working in the Bay Area?
In the Sacramento area.
Sacramento.
This River City Rafting Club was from the Sacramento area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you guys have brought today a carousel and a half of slides. And these slides are of what?
This would be of the 78 Wilderness World trip. And I'm, you know, we can go through them quickly. I'm not sure there's anything in here that you haven't already seen 100 times.
Well, so what we're going to do is I'm going to turn the machine off. We have a slide projector right here. So quality of the recording will drop a little bit because there'll be a hum here in the background. And I'm going to give you the button to advance.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to drag me along kicking and screaming as fast as you, or as slow as you want to go.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
you just tell me when you think you'd like to see something or talk about it more and so forth.
Or if you see something, and we'll try to follow along where we are, what we're doing. And I will describe some of the slides so that the people who are listening to this or the transcribers can kind of understand what we're seeing as well.
Yeah, okay.
So with that, we'll turn this on. So set the stage for this trip. You guys are river runners, and suddenly now there's a chance to go in Grand Canyon. Did Vladimir invite you guys on this trip, or did
no,
you
we
just?
We paid for this.
You we
did?
Paid for okay. it, but we, you know, we, and I'm not sure if we got an email about it or just got a, you know, a notice or, you know, that they.
Well,
were...
it was something we've always wanted to do.
Yeah. So we knew that it was happening, and so we signed up for it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's turn this on then.
Okay, so which is the advance here, forward and reverse, okay. So that, of course, is Lee's Ferry.
That's a rigging of boats, people standing around, yep.
Same thing.
Different view.
Very crowded picture of Lee's Ferry.
Yeah, I think there's probably more than one company here.
You hold that right there. I'm going to take a picture. It goes this way. Right there. It's very crowded. Yeah, there's multiple river trips launching there. There's looks like a dory trip there.
Yep.
Launching.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Floyd Walker, who is the main guide.
With the hat on.
Yeah. And
that's Donnie.
And this guy right here, that's
the sunglasses on the left.
That's
Larry Stevens'
brother-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we start down the river. And you can see that the canyon is not very tall at that point.
The Moki Dugway there, the lower ferry.
That's
crossing.
Carolyn. Picture of Carolyn.
With a white visor and sunglasses, a little gold earring.
Yeah.
In her ear.
Yeah. Yeah. Another picture.
Nice facial shot of Carolyn if she'd taken her sunglasses off. But
yeah. And you probably would know things better than we, but it looks like that bridge is the bridge across the Colorado.
Navajo Bridge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Downstream a little bit. Approaching that. These are some, a lot of this stuff is just going to be what I'm thinking. I'm a great photographer by taking little things, but this looked nice to me. There's a grasshopper that's riding along on some of the rigging on our boat.
Really calm there.
Yeah. So we're going under the bridge. And it's just a little picture of the stratus that's starting to show different levels of stratus. You probably know about the how long these took to lay down, but it's astounding how long it would have taken, to me anyway.
I thought the geology of the canyon was particularly interesting.
Yeah. This, I believe, is where we camped first. I don't recall where. So it shows them setting up the tables for the food and so forth. We ate very well. It's just astounding how well we ate. And that's Floyd Walker.
No, that's not Floyd.
His name is John. The river guide. I don't know his last name. There was three of them that I remember. Floyd, for some reason, I can remember his last name. His name was John. Then there was Jimmy.
And Gary.
Was there Gary?
Gary was a poet, too.
This is just a Tamarack's book.
This is
very interesting. This is what I kind of told you about. This is when we're approaching Red Wall Cavern and playing. You can see some boats on the very far right. There was a trip before us. It wasn't very big. But playing back in behind that big sand dune was a well-known string quartet that was part of the Windham Hill stable. I'll have to think of it as we go along. Put a blank there, I'll fill it in. But it was sort of magical to hear this sound unamplified, you know, coming as we approached. And just as we got there, they were getting ready to pack up and leave. So anyway, you can see a couple people on the beach. This is more shots. And these ravens were in the canyon wall. And I'm not sure, but I think this is part of the Vishnu Schist.
Can you back up one?
Yeah.
It's just a nice downstream view, and I just want to get some thumbnails of what we're seeing here. Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, this is the Vishnu Schist.
It could be, because you're still in Marble Canyon here, and you're in deep red wall, this could be the jasper chert layers in this algal mat layers in the limestone.
Yeah.
Washed and polished by the river. It looks really pretty like that.
Yeah. This may be kind of out of sequence, but I think this is taken out of Red Wall Cavern.
Looking up.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Same here. You get the and this is one of these things I just this is just to me, it's just amazing. This is not a Lloyd Canyon. And we took a walk up there and poured a little water on it, and there out came the deal. So,
fossils.
Yeah. It's one of the things that I remember was how astounding it was that this was this far away from the ocean. Yeah. So. And then we're continuing on down the river, more artistic.
That was the Bridge of Sighs that you just went by. It's a natural bridge there. And you were shooting up through the bridge to the blue sky behind it.
Is that right? Huh, okay. Then there's different, it shows how where some of the new limestone has gone away, and it's white underneath versus the red of the...
And some of these were salt.
Well, I think we'll see that as we get a little further.
Oh, this is the tailings.
This was where they were thinking of originally building the dam, and where they had done exploratory stuff. So you may know better than I about that, but that's what that is. And so I'm not sure what rapids these are, but. There's a couple that I know of, but this one I can't recall. This may be out of sequence as well.
More fossils.
Yeah. See that little thing that looks like a little worm right in the middle with his eyes. I forget what that's called, but anyway. Is that Indian Dick rock?
That's right. This series of pictures is the Roaring Twenties, if you will, in the morning. It's a nice shot. So that's a little upstream of Red Wall Cavern, but that's okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it is.
Your pictures are great. Quality's excellent.
I need to put them back in sequence. And I think this was just to exhibit the different strata that's coming and the gradient of the river.
Polished limestone. Red wall is coming out right there.
Yeah, same deal.
So this is a picture here of a raft somewhere near 50 Mile, and there are...
That's Larry Stevens on the stern talking about the geology in the canyon.
And he's the only one wearing his life jacket.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Another artistic. Sorry about that. That little tracks across it. These, I think, were to exhibit the underground streams that were cut off as a result of the canyon. That there used to be underground, and if you looked across the canyon, you would see the same thing. If I remember
the karst limestone.
Yeah.
Cavern.
Yeah.
Systems.
But when the river cut through them, what do they call hanging streams or something like that?
Hanging valleys.
No, not valleys, but just those little things, because there was underground conduits of fresh water, and when the river came through it, it cut it off. And if you look that same strata across the canyon, they'll be there too.
Hmm. Oh, you're talking about the holes in the walls.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, tell me about this.
This is Vasey's Paradise.
Okay,
right,
yes.
That's it.
Yeah. There's an example of one of those.
And this is Stanton's Cave.
Okay. I hate for you to have to go through this when you know it already.
Upstream view to Vasey's Paradise.
Yeah. Now, that's Jimmy. And I don't know Jimmy, but he was a loose cannon as well, but he was a good river guide.
Just a great river guide. I think he had problems, some issues with alcohol in the past, and running the river kind of straightened him out.
Yeah.
This woman sitting behind him is Meriden. That's Larry Stevens'
That's Larry's
sister.
Sister. You'll see, I think.
She was a model
She
in
was
New
a
York.
Model in New York City. And these were kind of cool because as we got down in here, we could pull underneath those to get out of the sun if we needed to, and if we were experiencing rain where they were dropping barrel cactus over the edge, it helped keep the boats inflated.
That's right. So this is the Tapete sandstone with some slabs knocked off at an angle coming down to the river, and you're just a mile or so above the confluence with the Little Colorado River. Downstream view here.
Yeah. There we are. And we were surprised by where we were staying last night as to how much water was in the river at that point and how it got like this. And the lady there sort of explained that it was sort of an eddy where the water would come up. But also, I guess there is, because it's a lot warmer.
The biggest natural spring, artesian spring in the state of Arizona, is Blue Springs on the Colorado, Little Colorado
River. Oh, really?
So that's you were exactly right. There's a lot of water there.
Yeah.
And at Cameron, where you spent last night, it was dry.
Yeah.
So
right.
That's.
But maybe we can get. There's a picture of some of the fish that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
There I think some is if we look carefully.
They were big fish.
Yeah, they were big fish. And then on the other side was sort of a natural. Cosmetic mud bath that
we all partook.
Yeah. So, and again, these may be.
That's Dave with the book.
So Dave has a beard and maybe dreadlocks.
Just long. Kind of
worn
in a ponytail.
Okay, and who's?
That's Joe.
That looks like me laying down there.
Okay.
And if we looked carefully, we might see if to get the name of those boats. There would be can't see it there, but it's in a kind of a oblong
Well, you can see some printing there.
Yeah, but that's just Wilderness World.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, but okay. It's, it'd be an orange print. And that was just to show how
high
the water has gotten. The log is jammed up there and so forth. And this...
That's the salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was what we were told that the Anasazi would come for miles and miles to gather
the salt.
And they were the most able warriors and so forth were sent to get this. Because it was valuable what they got to bring it back to where they were. And I don't know. I mean, we did see, and we will see, I think, a little further in Anasazi village, the remains of it and so forth. But it was interesting to see that they would. This was used to harvest salt. Now, is this the Great
Divide?
No.
No?
So this is a downstream view above Lava Chuar Canyon, the Desert Watchtower on the eastern drive that you're going to drive today. Is just there on the skyline, and this is a view looking south. And so you'll see today from the rim, you'll be looking straight up this direction.
Now, is this the Great Un something?
Oh.
So this is the Butte Fault, and the Great Unconformity.
There you
that's
go.
It. Yeah.
Is not quite here because of the supergroup, the red beds there between the regular Grand Canyon stack and the schist below. There's quite a thick layer of the supergroup here. Which will be eroded away in different areas. So.
Okay. So the great, what's it called?
Unconformity.
Is that it?
No.
Oh.
This is an unconformity. There's a series of them in here. This is Cardinus basalts and Dock Sandstone.
That's a beautiful.
Palisades of the Desert.
Yeah.
This is just above Ankar.
Now that's Meriden. A little better picture of her. And this is what I think is the Anasazi village.
It is.
It's up on the little.
Yeah.
And it's called the Ankar. It's the Ankar complex there. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Some more of it.
And more.
And I think there's a deer standing over there in between those tamarisk trees. And I can't recall this rapid.
Crystal?
This is Hance Rapid.
Yeah, maybe
Hance.
Just an interesting water level. Low. Bit of low water there.
Yeah, because we will see, I think, some of the dories who had to wait in a couple of places, and this may have been one of them.
I know that after we did this trip, Crystal changed remarkably to become a much more complicated.
Is that a? I can't see. It would be on one of the fronts of these boats. The name of that company, if we get a chance. Just more geology.
So this is now the Vishnu Schist, where down below Hance Rapid, in the upper Granite Gorge, the very start of it here.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Carolyn Rowing. That's Meriden in the background there.
And Donnie.
Donnie on the other side, and I guess I'm taking the picture.
And no life jackets?
No, of course not.
What's the yellow bit behind you? Oh, that's your life jacket. You've just undone it. It's right there.
Yeah. Got it. It probably would have been very bad for the tan line.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm with you. Yeah.
That's Donnie. That's her husband. That's Meriden's husband. You'll see.
This is Carolyn and
Donnie.
Donnie, all right.
You'll see more of his behavior here. There's more. Is this Elves Chasm? No.
This is, you guys have walked up Clear Creek to the Clear Creek Waterfall.
Okay.
Do you remember the month of this trip in 1978?
I'm pretty sure it was May.
Okay.
The end of May. We were told that the earlier you do it, the better, because it's maybe cool up on top, but it's warm in the bottom. But the guides,
and the flowers.
The guides aren't burnt out yet.
Mm.
So you probably know how that is in August. The horse syndrome.
Yeah.
So yeah, here's the more of the waterfall. This is.
That's you and somebody else.
Well, this was a fellow who was with another woman, whose husband just didn't like to travel. And so this man and his wife traveled all over the world together, cruises, river trips, whatever. They were just a couple so that they could, you know, you didn't have to pay a single supplement, number one, and they both liked to travel, and neither one of their spouses liked to travel. So they were friends, and that's the way they did it. So this is dinner here. Carolyn is sitting there in the blue top, and Donnie is up there right behind her, no shirt on, and then the rest of the folks around. This looks like the bridge to Phantom Ranch, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, it's a black bridge, downstream view.
Yeah. There's the mules going across. Now there may be a sheep in there somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Here's the unloading ceremony.
So here there's a number of people all in a line facing the camera, spread apart from one another. There's a bag being transferred from one individual to another. That looks like a black bag.
It is. It's a waterproof bag.
Is that what you had your gear in?
Yeah, they were kind of World War II.
Mm-hmm. And did you learn how to fold them up really well?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
They did not leak.
Yeah. Now, you guys had already done multi-day river trips with the River City Rafters. Did you have your own black bags?
Yeah.
So you were very
everything.
Familiar with that system and how it worked.
Yeah. Ammo cans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, same deal. Yeah. So more.
This is at Quadrant here, your camp there.
This was it's kind of an unusual deal. This guy Sheffield was a partner in Mount Saint Michel Winery in Sonoma, and he had, because it was built on a natural mineral spring, he decided that he would bottle this water, and so I brought this along as sort of a promotion to see, you know, where this Sheffield water is taken.
Okay.
So that's what that's there. That's what that is. So
nice.
It's O2, and the artistic value of this is clear. You can see the
priceless.
Top of the bottle is right in line with it. Yeah, so.
You worked really hard to make that happen. Put that on a piece of driftwood there.
Yeah. So here's dinner, eating out of a Sierra Club cup. And there's our ammo cans on the right there.
Is this you?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Joe is sitting on his life jacket. There's some material scattered either side of him. Ammo can that's open, maybe some books and a camera there. And he's eating out of a Sierra Club cup.
Yeah. This lady was a nice lady that was on the trip as well. And that fellow there with no shirt and the beard.
He taught me a life story.
This was
He was a teacher. He had been a professor all his life.
In Oregon.
And his lifetime dream was to take a trip on the Colorado River. And so when he retired, he came on this trip, and there was nothing about it that was good in his mind. Nothing met his dream, his expectation. And all the rest of us thought this was the most fabulous experience, but for him,
it was the worst experience.
It was just a terrible experience. And yeah, it taught me, don't wait your whole life to do what you want to do. Do it. And, you know, and don't build your expectations to be something that are... I have no idea what he expected, because the crew was terrific, the food was terrific, everything we thought was wonderful, but he did not think anything was good about this trip.
And this is where this particular point was, where my admiration of Larry Stevens came out. He was, after dinner one night, it was getting darker than it is here, he was sitting on the log with two or three people beside him, and Larry came by, and he always was grousing, you know. And Larry said, well, now, I don't want you to get upset, but just don't move anything, okay? Because there's a little rattlesnake right between your legs under this log. And so he reaches under and gets this canyon rattler and takes it and moves it right over away from everybody else. And that was the first instance. I'll show you the second one as we go. But he, even that didn't seem to astound him. And this is that couple that traveled together. This was another... I'm not sure who that couple on the right is, or that fellow on the right. I think, wasn't the woman there in the background, wasn't she a river guide, Karen?
No, there were no women. This was a couple, I think, that came on. I don't remember who they are.
That's out of sequence. That's way up by the bridge.
Is it?
And that, okay. That last sequence of shots, it looked like we're... at Granite Camp.
It could have been, yeah.
This is 10 Mile Rock. Back way up by East Ferry.
Yeah.
That's way up? Further up? Okay, so they're way out of sequence.
That's all right. Once they're digitized, you can just move the... relabel the images and sort them all out.
We remember being told that on the trip that they had seen Georgie White go by that rock when only the very top tip was visible.
They had seen a picture of her running before the dam.
Yeah. That's a side view of it. Was it called Anvil Rock at ever any time?
So there is a Vulcan's Anvil, but that's down by Lava Falls.
Okay.
And this rock is known as Ten Mile Rock. It's 10 miles from Lee's Ferry.
It is way out of sequence. Now this is it there a big bend here?
Downstream view looking down to Soap Creek, the river hangs a left there, and the canyon Soap Creek comes in on the right.
Okay.
And Soap Creek Rapid is right there.
Okay.
This is the Supai Gorge.
Oh, here, this is.
Yeah.
This is kind of. I love these things here. You know, just.
Yeah, we just hang out.
Kind of hang out underneath there and so forth.
This is Boulder Narrows at 19 Mile.
So this is some of these pictures here that you have on the wall.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Huh. I kind of like that picture.
Mm.
Kind of reminds me of the picture that's on the front of John Blaustein's book there. So, but it's not. This is, I think, just showing sunset.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now we're back into the Vishnu Schist and the gorge. You guys had a nice moon on that trip. So this is, I want to say, somewhere in the 40s and 50s.
Really?
On Nankareep or Saddle Canyon.
Yeah.
Bunch of boats, bunch of people. Royal Arch. Royal Arch is that section right in there is a match with the last picture.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's canyon lands, isn't it?
Canyoneers.
Oh, canyoneers.
And I think, okay, not mistaken, but it may be, we came close to them at Havasu. I don't think this is Havasu yet, but it could be.
This is going to be, that's the Powell Plateau in the distance down there. This is going to be above Bass, below some of the big rapids, below Crystal and Granite. It looks like they're passing you guys, and the boatman there is probably chatting with with your boat people.
He's probably trading cold beers.
Yeah.
If I remember right. So here we were in a kind of a flat area, so we were sailing.
Just in the dark there, in the wind.
Yeah. But with life preservers on, as you can see.
Uh-huh.
That's Larry.
I think that's Larry. That's
Yep, sure looks like it.
So this was, I can't recall exactly the name of it, but this is an area where they gave us
the honeymoon suite.
Which is kind of up a little bit, and it's essentially a cave, and it was hotter than the devil in there, because it was like being in an oven.
Yep. This looks like Bass Camp up against the rocks.
It's real rocky area where we
big open area though.
Yeah, down below.
Pretty
it
down
was.
Below.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Gary.
Yeah.
And I can't remember Gary's last name.
Yeah.
Gary with a big beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of spring coming out of there. Oh, is this Elf's Chasm?
This will be Elf's Chasm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice shot of Elf's Chasm.
It's probably an animal.
Maybe an animal somewhere in there, but I can't see.
It's a great makeup. I just photographed travertine there at Elf's Chasm. And
so here's a storm coming.
Okay.
Afternoon rain.
This is Steamboat Mountain, so you're closing in. That's a great shot there.
It was just this horrendous rainstorm.
And I think we'll see some cactus coming over the edge. I'm not. Yeah, this is.
And there were barrel cactus coming down there off of the rim, and we had pulled in into the, as far as we could get off the river, we got off and then tried to wait it out. They knew that the water was going to rise. And even though the boats, you can see at the edge there, they pulled these up as far as you could possibly get them. And when we woke up in the morning, the water had come up to the boats.
So that's,
and
now we're having to move it down to river level.
Yeah.
So. And that's one of the river guys just having a little coffee by himself.
He was a good guy.
Too.
He was a young guy compared to, let's see, is that it?
I think it is.
So that's the first
thing
we'll put in the
You don't have to see all the stuff that you've seen 100 times.
No, there's some very fun fun images here.
Oh. pee downstream.
Somebody's camera was quick there catching that guy peeing in the river.
He said, well, geez, you...
That's Clyde.
You can pee in the river? He said, well, there's a lot of fish in there that are doing the same thing.
That's right.
That was the logic. What is that?
This is Deer Creek Falls.
Oh, Deer Creek, yeah.
Ledges Camp.
Camped up there. Well, this is Havasu. And this is another place that Larry astounded me. We were, you know how it's like Hawaii in there, and it's up to here. And I walked through here, and he said to the people behind him, he was right behind me, hold up just a second. He reaches over and pulls another little
rattlesnake
that I had just stepped
it
over.
It wasn't little, it was big.
Yeah, but it was pink, and it was the typical canyon rattler, who, if I remember him saying correctly, is that they're pink because of the dust, and number two, they're not very aggressive. And so picked him up, walked him across the creek, put him over there, came back, okay, here we go. Is that Beaver Falls?
No, this is a one of the many travertine cascades in Havasu before the big floods blew a lot of the ash trees out.
Huh.
It's great. Great shot.
Oh, there.
There's the rattlesnake.
There's the little guy right there. So, yeah. So that's Larry with that same rattler. And see how the trail is. It's up to your waist, you know. It's
in the grapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's Caroline. Middle of one.
I love that. I thought that was so fun.
That's me. These aren't Beaver Falls.
This is probably Beaver Falls here.
Mm-hmm.
There's Larry.
That's good.
There's Joe and Donnie.
Who's on the oars?
Me.
Joe.
Joe's on the oars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still got that little belly. I still have that right then, don't I? Clear back in 78. That's a hand-me-down from my grandfather, who had the same kind of little belly.
Oh, those are helicopters. This
was just after they started taking people out by helicopter after Lava Falls.
Right.
And so that they could save river days, my understanding. Maybe you know better than I do.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I think flew them to Las Vegas at that time.
Oh, so that's lava.
Here we're scouting.
We're scouting.
That's right.
I think it's lava.
That's right.
Yeah. And they were giving people the option to walk around if they wanted to. That's not us. That's another.
No, that's a Grand Canyon Expedition's motor rig.
Yeah, with two big pontoons on the outside. So here the river guys are either psyching themselves out or us. Getting into a little confab before they go through the river, the rapids.
One of our boats flipped in there.
Yeah.
Gary's boat.
He was probably that guy from Oregon was in it too.
No, nobody was in it but him.
Oh yeah, one of them was rowing the honey boat, but that wasn't it. That's Floyd.
That's Clyde.
Yeah, that's Clyde.
Or Floyd.
Floyd. Is
Floyd. Not
it's
Clyde.
Not Clyde. It's Floyd Walker.
Floyd so Walker.
Is this Floyd here?
Yeah. And the one we've been calling Clyde all along is Floyd.
Okay.
Now, can we see on that front of that boat? No, still.
That's an Avon.
No, well, it looks like an Avon, but it's not.
Really?
No. It's a special made boat, and it's got an oval, and I always thought it was on the front, but maybe on the back there.
So it looks like an A and an N either side of that bow line there.
No, it would be on this. See that little rope hanging over on the right hand side there? It would be right there. It would be a little label.
Okay.
But it probably in the back. So
maybe we'll get a picture of it.
I'll have to think. I'll just have to keep thinking about it.
You sure it wasn't Avon?
No, it wasn't Avon.
Okay.
He had them made especially in Italy.
Wow, that was exciting going through that.
Yeah. Pretty well.
I don't think they made that shot. I don't think they made it. I think that was probably Dave's boat flip.
Yes.
Right side up down there.
Yeah.
Look there.
That's Donnie.
No, it isn't. That's Floyd.
Oh, that's Floyd?
So yeah. Floyd, sunglasses, wire-rimmed sunglasses, and a little cap covers for reflected light, handlebar mustache. And that's Floyd Walker.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a big old log. Must have come down there before the dam, but who knows, huh? Is that the nonconformity?
This is the lava flows cascading down through the red wall stack now, which has gotten much thicker, and that's one of the basalt flows cascading down to the river off of the Torrey volcanic field.
I see. Oh, this is basalt, right? I think those are cool. This is.
I could go on and on about this, but I don't know that.
This is one of those things you may not want to have on there, but we don't know what his status is right now.
Yeah, he. They got to know them really well on the river, and they lived in New York, and I have happened to have a trip that. Due to work that took me through New York, and so I arranged to stay with them, and they lived right on the East River on Sutton Place, and very nice digs.
It takes a lot of discretionary income to live there.
And it turns out that Donnie was a pretty big cocaine dealer. And we didn't know that.
That's why he could afford to live there.
But anyway, apparently on the trip, Meriden made him promise to lay off the drugs. And this was his concession, that he could smoke marijuana, but he couldn't do any of the heavier drugs.
Did he bring his own channel locks for the roach clip there?
I don't know whether it came with the boat or whether he brought it, but I think it probably came with the boat.
He probably came well prepared, knowing him. So... But he...
Well, it was the time. This is 1978.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is that? Is that Pyramid Rock?
No, this is... we're still above Diamond Creek here.
Yeah.
Diamond Peak.
That's Diamond Peak. Is that Diamond Peak?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
This is one of the... There it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Classic Diamond Peak downstream view.
Okay.
Dismantling.
So this is at Diamond Creek.
Yeah, Diamond Creek.
Breaking everything down, taking everything apart.
washing the boat.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I love that shot. That's all the guides.
And Larry, I think, is on the far left.
Yeah, he is. Oh, and that's them cleaning up.
Yeah.
Cleaning up to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
So, nice of you to go through all that.
So, 1978, here we are, 88, 98. 08, 17, 40 years later, roughly. What was your takeaway from this trip? How did this trip affect your lives over the next four decades? Giant question.
I can answer that for me. I just felt like I had lived kind of a very simple life, I guess, growing up. And kind of very natural. I grew up on the beach in California, but not the beach as it's now. It was very isolated, and very few people really lived there. Just us and a couple other families.
What did your parents do?
My mother was a school teacher, taught second grade, and my dad was pretty much a bookkeeper. For
accountant.
Various businesses.
Okay.
My dad was an alcoholic and was not a real good dad. And he was gone a lot. And, you know, just we suffered as a result of his alcoholism. Anyway.
So this trip then...
So Joe and I get married, and Joe grew up in a very different kind of world than I did, and much more structured and much more successful. And, you know, his dad was a shooter. He worked for Remington and taught people to shoot. He was the best shot in the world.
Wow.
And so that was Joe's upbringing, is that group of people, all very, very wealthy, very successful people. And so we get married, and our lives sort of tend more towards Joe's way of life. And then for me, we'd been married several years by the time we went on the river. To me, I just felt like I'd gone home, and that these people were kind of more, I was more of the hippie generation, and Joe was more of the Brooks Brothers generation. We're a few years apart. And I just felt like I'd found myself again, who I really was, and or who I... It was just that core kind of simplicity that I loved on the river. And I loved the nature and the scenery and the hikes, the side trips and that sort of thing. I love that. But to me, it was a very spiritual experience. Very spiritual. And it has affected my whole life. I mean, I just felt like I'd come home. And it sort of stayed with me that, like it was okay to be this way, or okay, something. I don't know how else to explain it. You can say what it did for you.
Well, I was astounded by the scope of this canyon, where you put in at one story high and take out at a mile and a half or two, and what a small person is compared to this in chronological times. I think it was one of the top, probably top three events in my life, as far as, you know, going away and doing things and so forth. So it was quite a eye-opening thing for me.
We just loved it.
Yeah.
We loved it as much as that gentleman who came on it hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, we just couldn't have been happier.
Yeah.
And I felt like I just wanted to go back there and live there, which is why I actually went back and worked on the river, because I really wanted to go back there.
Was that second trip as magical as the first?
No. It was on a, what we called at the time, baloney boats. The huge motorized, it wasn't anywhere close to that experience, because it was a much bigger group, and it was all motors and no oars. I mean, there was no participation in that group, in that.
And it was fast.
I worked, but there was no, the guests were just riding on a boat down the river rather than participating. And the other thing is, we didn't do that many side trips. It was just get down and get off the river. And it was a very different experience and was not the same at all.
I think it was like 6 days.
Yeah.
And we were on our trip was 16. You know, and we got to stop and go up. But they went by a lot of those side canyons.
Yeah,
they didn't experience
the canyon. They were on the river and they went down the river. And also, I think a smaller trip, you get to know the people and the guides. And we felt really one with the guides. And it was just very different.
And I think as a result of this, we got involved in being volunteer trip leaders for the Sierra Club. And we did that from about 1985 until about 2000 and something like that.
It was later than that.
And we did trips all over the world.
Years.
Nice.
One of the ones that's very similar to this is we would lead trips down the Nepali coast in Kauai.
Kayaking trips.
Yeah, kayaking trips.
Wow.
Yeah, and we would go from one where the road ended on one side and started up on the other. So we'd go
all
the way around and stuff like that. And that's how we really got involved in Hawaii a lot. And my favorite was, and still is the Dolomites in northern Italy. And so anyway, so in between we've done, you know, different places. I've done trips in Spain and Italy, and Carolyn has done trips in Costa Rica and Mexico, working for, Baja Expeditions?
I was a kayaking guide for them in Mexico for several years.
The owner of that company was another kind of wild hare who was educated at Prescott College.
Ah, okay.
Tim Means. He owns Baja Expeditions.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, she worked with him. And so anyway,
nice.
This I think probably was I never really did. I was a lot outdoors because, as Carolyn said, my dad was considered the best shotgun shot in the world for many years. And so we were outside hunting and stuff like that. But we never did any camping or never did anything close to this sort of stuff. And I think this was what got us interested in, you know, doing stuff like that.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to wrap this interview up now. What is there anything I didn't ask you about that you wanted to mention?
No, because if you do, it'll probably take us far afield.
Okay.
With one of my stories, and then we'll have to come back. No, I think the thing, as far as this is concerned, and as far as anybody would be interested, this, you know, covered a lot of it.
Carolyn?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just have such fond memories of not just, I mean, the whole association, the Vladimir Indebed and Larry Stevens and having his sister. It was just very special.
Mm, very fun.
And a wonderful experience. Yeah. I'm not sure I'd want to do it again. Because, again, you know, it's that you can't go home again sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Joe and Carolyn Brown, thank you so very much for participating today in the Grand Canyon Historical Society oral interview. Today is the 3rd of May, 2017. My name is Tom Martin, and thank you both very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you.